Make sure you get all your things in for the class. Wish I had my grade book with me. But there are, four or five different things. Make sure you get them done. Read the tracks in there. Listen to the tapes. Witness. Bible insert. Get that for your Bible. I don't think you have to turn that into me, though. I didn't have you turn that into me.
This one's like this.
Yeah. Yes. Bible insert. Today you have to witness to somebody. Those that are on tape that are not here in class today, what they should do is just write it out. Just write it out. Write out the scriptures they would use and just how they would do it. Today what we're going to do is we'll take notes of the other guy. See? And so those that do it on tape, they can just write it out during the time period that they're listening to the tape. So while everybody's doing it in here, they can be doing it on tape. What were the other assignments? Read balance 2. Okay, so today, let's witness to each other. And what I want you to do, I'm going to give, I would say it should take no more than about 7 minutes each. 7.5 minutes each. And what you should do is you should give each other the plan of salvation. And I'll watch it, but I think that it should take no more now. We might be able to do it in 5 minutes each. And they can ask questions and bring things up. And it's better if you, be a little lively with each other. You know what I mean? Don't just stand there blank, Give him some gas, you know what I mean? Give him some trouble, a little bit maybe. And let him work at it. Let him earn his... Yeah. And if he's getting you way off on the track, learn how to deal with him getting back on the track, This unsaved guy is trying to get you off the track. But we're presupposing, otherwise you wouldn't be witnessing to him this way. We're presupposing he's open. So be open. Don't be closed. Be open. Otherwise you wouldn't be given in the plan of salvation if he weren't open. So he's open, you're open, and you're receptive, and you've got questions maybe. But you want to know, so what you want to do is take him through the steps leading him to salvation. And the person that's being witnessed to, take notes. So, at the top of the sheet of the paper, it should be witnesser. And put the name, the guy's name down who is witnessing. And then you can put your name in parenthesis under it. But put up at the top, witnesser, and then, okay, so choose partners. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so each of you can pair off. So pair off with somebody. Pick your choice. I don't know if marriage should witness to each other. I don't know. That'd be pretty too easy. Yeah. Or would it be harder?
I would think it would be.
You might get solically involved, brother.
Yeah,
you better be careful. Go ahead and pair up. Whoever wants to. Don't be bashful. Mary, you're over there in the corner. Come on, you're going to have to come out of the corner. You're going to have to come over here and get in touch with somebody. Pick your weapons. Pick your person. And basically, you should know the scriptures. You should be able to tell them the scriptures. Basically, you shouldn't. Pardon me. You have your sheet. You shouldn't just read off here now. You should be able to share with them the scriptures, basically, and give them scriptures. Okay, is everybody paired off? Yes. The one that takes the notes is the one that's getting witnessed to.
So I can't go from the house.
She witnesses. Exactly. And, oh, by the way, let me tell you one more thing. I want you to grade them. I want you to give them a grade. And this is going to be, and you don't have to show them. Boy, this is going to be really tough on the old flesh. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll make it easier for you. If they did an average job and they had at least, let's say they had at least 3 to 5 scriptures, give them a check. If they did quite a bit better than that and they really had their arguments well, give them a check plus. And if you really think they did a superb job, give them a check plus plus. And if they didn't have their scriptures and they didn't really have the full plan, give them a check minus. Okay? So let me just put that up on the board.
That'll make it a little bit easier for you. And I suppose most of you will probably get a check.
Or a check plus. That's what I suppose. Only if they really had it down well, really had their scriptures together, check plus plus. If they didn't have three scriptures memorized, they didn't have it in their mind that they were able to share with you the gospel, they should get a check minus. Okay? Okay, I'll plan on it being probably around 7 minutes, okay? And then you can switch. Now, if one of you gets over sooner than that, then you can go ahead and over and switch right away if you want to. But you should take it should take you at least 5 minutes.
Are we gonna work at from you just say he doesn't even know? So it's like introduction,
yes.
You know, sneak in somehow, or just can we just...
You're basically familiar somewhat, and you want to share with him something that's super important for his soul, and he says, yeah, I'm really open. I really want to know about God. I really do. I'm interested. I want to know what you've got. And then so you say, okay, well, this is what I got, and then lead him right into it so he gets it too. So that's basically where you start from. Okay, go ahead. And so the one who witnesses does not take notes, but the one who is listening, they take the notes of the witnesser, and then they give him a grade. And then use a separate sheet of paper for the other person. So each one has a sheet of paper. Okay, go ahead. In the notes that you take of their witnessing, put down the scriptures they use, among other things.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you. Jesus.
And then we'll let the end of the night, which I tell all the wrong
If they didn't have three scriptures memorized, they didn't have it in their mind that they were able to share with you the gospel, they should get a check minus. Okay? Okay, I'll plan on it being probably around 7 minutes, okay? And then you can switch. Now, if one of you gets over sooner than that, then you can go ahead and over and switch right away if you want to. But you should take at least 5 minutes.
I would get worried. He just said he doesn't even know. So it's like introduction,
yes.
You know, sneaking this and how, just can we just...
Yeah, you're basically familiar somewhat, and you want to share with him something that's super important for his soul, and he says, yeah, I'm really open. I really want to know about God. I really do. I'm interested. I want to know what you've got. And then so you say, okay, well, this is what I got, and then lead him right into it so he gets it too. So that's basically where you start from. Okay, go ahead. And so the one who witnesses does not take notes, but the one who is listening, they take the notes of the witnesser, and then they give him a grade. And then use a separate sheet of paper for the other person. So each one has a sheet of paper. Okay, go ahead. In the notes that you take of their witnessing, put down the scriptures they use, among other things.
This is my life. 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 This is my He was a great leader. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Everybody saved yet?
Everybody.
Go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay, you got 2 minutes. Okay. Go ahead and put your chairs back in place. Go get your chairs back in place and kind of straighten things up a little bit. Language a little bit, kind of slow it down, or maybe. She's got tons of scriptures and all that info down there. Give her a check.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she's practicing for Sweden, right? Sweden?
Finland.
You sweetheart. Hallelujah. All right. Go ahead and pass up those sheets.
Go ahead and pass up the sheets. I'll take a roll with you on that. Do I have all the sheets?
I think it's easier on the street, Mark.
It is easier on the street because you've got the anointing,
yeah.
You know, you've got somebody there, but you need to learn the scripture so you get the other side. It's not easy, so sorry. Go ahead and pass up your sheet. Can I get them all? Can I get you, Jim?
Okay. Yes.
I was dealing with telling the sister, one thing I've noticed that helped me a lot when I'm talking to someone is when you get really, I use the same Bible all the time. For everything, you know, studying to reading to talk to someone. It's like, I found like I can find things quickly in this Bible, but if I go to use another one, it's not as easy, but.
That's true. That's true. And the reason why is because you get a feel for where on the page it is and that sort of thing. Which can be helped, but it can be a trap. And the trap is that it doesn't force you to learn the chapter verse. And so you rely on position. And if you know chapter and verse, it won't matter what Bible you use. And you basically kind of want to tend that way. Now for me, in fact, that's a point I'll be giving you. You don't want to have a big Bible when you're out witnessing, packing around a big Bible. And but you need it, you know, for study, a good size Thompson chain, you know. So what we often have, like at the Bible Answer Stand, though, there you've got it set out. I usually have a Young's Concordance and a small Strong's, just a small little one, and with a Thompson chain, so you can have it, or you know, maybe not. And often an NAS, because that's a little more readable. And then you can have a big Bible. But normally, you know, if you're packing around this big Bible, you're really looking, you know. You come down there witnessing with your Rothgram under your arm. You know, your Rothgram in one and your Strong's Concordance in the other, and that's not the best. So you want to usually just have a small Bible. If you can, fine. But you'll find a lot of times, if you're out and about too, like I've done this, I try to pack around a little New Testament. That's nice to do. I like having that. I wish they had a teeny, meeny one that you would fold up and would immediately get big.
Yeah.
When you fold it down, it would get small again.
Yeah.
But that miracle hasn't happened yet. And but anyway, it's nice to have it. And then you can pull it out and use it. And that wouldn't be the same as your study Bible, so you'd have to learn the Scriptures. And, you know, there's some of the Old Testament that you would use that you couldn't if you had that. But you can quote that. So, you know, you use what you can. Depends on the situation. But if you're out and about, you're not going to want to be carrying a full Bible with you usually. If you're walking around. Like if you're walking the mall, don't carry your Bible. Don't. Just don't. And if you're out walking the mall, the security sometimes doesn't like that anyway. And they'll say, what are you doing? You buying, you soliciting around here, you know. If they get word of it. Especially if you're freely passing out tracts. We'll talk about tracts here pretty quick. And see, those things are things you don't do because it'll hinder your chances. You want to act discreet. You want to be slipping through the grass like a snake. And then just get them before they know what got them. See? That's what you want to do. Just sidle up alongside of them, find that open heart, and put the love of Jesus in them. Catch them before they know what's happened to them. They've been loved by God before they know. See? That's what you want to do. Be like a snake that way. Okay, let me give you some more answers to allegations here. What do you do when somebody wants to delay? To delay. Basically, delay is unwillingness. But let me just say this. There may be a reason. Don't be too harsh on somebody who's delaying, number one, because if it's rush hour or if it's a greatly distracting circumstance. And isn't it true? Haven't you been caught in some distracting circumstances where you really would have liked to talk, but you couldn't then? Well, if somebody says, well, you know, I really can't right now, and you say, ah, you're just unwilling. See, you know, give them a break. Say, okay. And then ask them for an appointment. Now you'll find out. And besides, that's best anyway. Get an appointment, get to go over to their house, or they come over to your house. Great. Get a phone number. Call them up. You'll find out how willing they are. So there may be some reason, and if it really is some reason, then they will give you their phone number, and they will get together with you later if they really want to. Now, if they're still wanting to just delay it and put it off, don't leave them with just that. Go ahead and say, okay, you don't want to give your life to Jesus Christ right now, and that's your choice. You can say no to Him. And then you need to make it really clear what He is doing. You don't want to just say, well, all right, okay, maybe we'll see you some other time. Don't just do that. If He wants to delay, go ahead and say okay, because it is His choice. But after He says He wants to, then let him know that you just need to understand that what you're doing is you're making yourself boss and you're rejecting God. You're not letting Him be boss. You're making yourself boss. Your lover has come to love you and you've rejected Him. It's because you don't want to. Just know that. And to neglect so great a salvation, how can you escape? And also let him know, so that's one point you can make, and be sensitive to where the guy's at so you'll know what to say. But then the second point that is also good to make is, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And you can only come when the Spirit calls you. That's John 6:44. So John 6:44 and 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. You can only come when the Spirit is calling you and God is dealing with you. And if you say no when God is dealing with you, you're saying no to God. And so just let him know that. And just let him know the seriousness of his decision, that this is a decision, that you are making a decision. You're making a decision saying no. And generally, and then just let him know this. And this is sometimes really good. Just let him know this. Generally, when people say yes later, they don't mean yes later. I'm not sure where you're at exactly, but just the majority are this way. They say, no, not now, but I will later. And what they really mean is, I'm unwilling, I just don't want to face it. And I'm saying this to try to be polite. Let him know that, because he might come right up front. And it will also expose his heart if he's open, and if that's what he's doing, which he probably is. Just let him know, well, that's what people are usually doing when they say that. And so, I hope you'll, you know, hope you'll turn around. Jesus said also, another one is Matthew 12:30, and that is, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not for me, you're against me. Matthew 12 and verse 30. And one that I've used, this is kind of a strong one, Proverbs 29 verse 1. He who is often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Proverbs 29:1. And if he's rejected before and he's rejecting again, I use this scripture. He who is often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I mean, it'll happen so fast. And I've even told some people the story of a guy that I knew of way back when this church first started. He was being witnessed to by some people in our church, and he kept saying no, kept putting it off. One day he was riding his motorcycle through a house trailer set section over here. It was somewhere around here in Berrien. And he got decapitated because there was a cable stretched across and he hit the thing and took off his head. I mean, all of a sudden he's driving along and boom, the next moment he's in eternity. You never know. This guy kept putting it off. Okay, another one. What do you do with a guy that just loves sin? He's just unwilling to give up a habit. He's just got this thing and he loves it and it's destroying him, whether a sexual sin or a money sin. He's lusting after money or a position or his job. He's got this job. Just let him know this, that this is your first love. You need to make it really clear to him through analogy and through discussion. Do you see that this is your first love? This, you love this more than you love God. And the Bible calls that adultery. Adultery. And this sin separates you from God. And the only need that can ultimately be fulfilled in your life is God. He's the only one that can fulfill your need. And if you can't, take him through the steps. Okay, after you've had your 5,000 parties, then what? Okay, after you've had your 10,000 times in bed with this woman, then what? Okay, after you've had all this money, then what? After you've gained all the palaces in the sky, then what? And just take him to the ultimate conclusion. You're going to die. And it's going to be all over. Then what? What good did it do you? And of course, testimony of the blessings in your own life is also a good one at this. And if you can, take him through the story of the prodigal. You know there was a guy like that in the Bible? Take him through the prodigal. There's a guy just like that. He wanted it, and he wanted it now, regardless. Guess where he ended up at? And guess where everybody else ends up at? And we've all got stories of friends and ourselves. You take it to the ultimate conclusion, you get sick of it. And it didn't satisfy. There's only one thing that will satisfy. And so you can speak really directly to them. And they'll never forget those words. You look them square in the eye and you say, there's only one thing that's going to satisfy you. And that's Jesus Christ and His love for you. And He may not accept that, but He'll never forget you saying that. And it'll draw on His heart and draw on His heart. Okay.